welcome to the My Interests This Week podcast. My name is Jason Anderson, and I am recording this for the week ended October 3rd, 2020. In this episode, I'll be talking about a little bit about PeerTube, what I've been doing with that or what I've been researching with that, and also a little bit about that so-called virus, or at least the one that I talked about with a coworker of mine. So without further ado, I will go into that PeerTube video. This happened, I think, about 3 or 4 days ago. I was reading up on something on Mastodon, and this guy was wondering about whether you could see the torrents on Mastodon, whether you could see the torrents on, whether you could see the videos on PeerTube. For those of you who don't know, PeerTube is a decentralized video platform where people have these instances they can go on and they can share their videos, and they are shared with that community, and they're shared with another community that connects with that instance of PeerTube, and so on and so on. It's a part of Federation, or this so-called Fediverse. But what this guy, he was wondering about, was whether you could use BitTorrent to share the videos, whether you could share the bandwidth. You see, on PeerTube, what they use is something called, WebTorrent, which they use a variation on BitTorrent through the web browser. So you can have decentralized sharing of these videos, and you could also share the bandwidth, which is pretty nice. So I was kind of wondering about that. The guy who got I'll link to this in the description of the video. The guy, he got a response from it. I can't remember what it was. You'd have to give me a second to look that up. But the short and thick of it is that apparently you can't really do this. I mean, in some cases it may be possible, but for right now you can't really do this. Yeah, because BitTorrent, LibTorrent, the widely used BitTorrent implementation, it looks like it has recently been added to it, but that was a few months ago. From what I've read in this, let's see here. LibTorrent recently added support for it, but unfortunately, it's not currently in the main. What do they call it? The main line of it, or rather, it's just not stable. I mean, that didn't prevent me from downloading the thing and trying to use it. I looked at some clients for this. I looked at, for instance, Deluge. The guy originally wanted to use, something called Transmission. That's a popular BitTorrent client. But from what I've read, currently you can't use it. I tried looking at it with LibTorrent and QBitTorrent and Deluge, and I even tried downloading, I think it was this 3-second clip of something, and to see whether the seeds went up. I looked on the PeerTube site for the video while I was transmitting it, and as far as I can tell, you can't use it just yet. So that's unfortunate. Hopefully that will be in the main BitTorrent, or rather LibTorrent library soon, because that would be a really nice thing you could have for BitTorrent, or for PeerTube. Yeah, it really needs it on there. I mean, recently, PeerTube recently got some support for a centralized search engine. I can't remember what they call it. I think it's called it Sepia Search or something like that. It allows you to, search better for content on PeerTube. They definitely need that. Some other features that would be really great for PeerTube is let's see here. They already got they have a list of things that the project is trying to get up. That WebTorrent with LibTorrent and transmission, that would really help, but other things they're also trying to get is streaming on it. Hopefully they'll get that up. I'll also link to that in the description of this podcast. But they're getting aid for that. However, we're still currently in this godforsaken pandemic. I mean, it looks like there's a silver lining in it, or at least I tried to tell my coworker named Carlos. Yeah, we were talking about that. We were at the end of our shift that we were working. I was working late night at a CVS, and we were kind of discussing it. He had talked about how a friend of his, I can't remember where he was from, a friend of his name was Archie, and the guy, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, this was a couple of, or maybe this was a couple of months ago in a completely different state, but Carlos's friend said that he felt a little weird, and then within a couple of weeks, he was dead. Really strange. I had wondered about his friend. I asked him, oh, Carlos was his friend Archie, was he sick, or did he have any signs or something like that? And he said, well, he had some asthma, and, well, okay, but just because, you know, you have asthma and you maybe show some signs of the virus doesn't necessarily mean that you have it. And he said, well, okay, they confirmed that he did have the virus. Well, okay, then. So then we chatted a little bit about how you may get the virus, how it may attack the body, and possibly a vaccine for it. Yeah, you kind of learn this stuff when you work at a pharmacy. So from what I've read, there's something called, I could be mistaken, because researchers have found various, shall we say, attack vectors for SARS-CoV-2. But what the virus tries to attack you, it may get you through something called, I think, ACE2 receptors. That stands for you're going to have to give me a second about this. But anyway, these ACE2 receptors, you mainly find these in your lungs, your nose, and certain other places on your body. And as a result, if the virus clips onto these, well, then you're going to have a very bad day because that's where it mainly comes through. That's one of the reasons why people have to cover their mouths and nose and other parts like that, because it'll mainly attack you through your mouth, nose, or your mucous membranes, or at least the stuff that is exposed. Man, nickel for every time I see people who have their mouth covered, but not their nose. So, yeah, sadly, that increases their chances of getting the virus. But that's not to say that it's not a bad idea just to, I mean, you got to wear the mask. You got to do that. Yeah, wear your mask, you know, keep your distance, physical distancing, wash your hands and all that stuff. My goodness, the number of people who don't cover, for heaven's sakes. These people, luckily there are very, very few that I've seen who don't do this, but they've told me, oh, I have an exception, or oh, I have malarkey. They don't. No, you don't. Ugh. Because the vaccine for it, as far as I can tell, no one's immune. I mean, there's a greater chance of some people, or there's lesser and greater chances of some people getting it, but I seriously doubt anyone's really immune to it just yet. From the looks of it, there are a number of vaccines that are in the works, which are they're still in their clinical trials. There's a number of them. I'll again link this in the show notes, or in the notes that I have for this. There are a number of vaccines that are in. Yeah, it really helps to pull this stuff beforehand, but whatever. But anyway, there are about 7 to 9 vaccines that are in their final trials. And hopefully, these ones will... It says about there, from what I can read, there are about 11 in their final phase. And hopefully, we'll have a positive... hopefully, those will pass their clinical trials. They'll be approved by the FDA, and by about, hopefully early next year, we'll see a number of them released. I think it's the CDC who, or the WHO, who said that it may not be until mid-2021 before we'll see some real vaccines, though. From what I can tell, there are a number of questions, or just maybe a couple of questions, that have to be answered. For one thing, how will this work for people who are, I want to say, on the fringe, for instance, elderly people? How will this hurt them, or how will this affect them at least? How long will the immunity last? I mean, will it last for a few months? Will it last for a year? There are some vaccines that last all your life. I think the measles vaccine, for instance, that one lasts all your life. This is some stuff that it's pretty scary. I mean, we don't really know this stuff, at least not yet. I remember hearing in an interview with Bill Gates, you know, he's one of the foremost experts on this, at least from the looks of it. He said that we may not get back to normal until, you know, the next 2 years, 2022. Yeah, 2022. It's been a long road ahead, and it's great that a lot of people have been... There's been actually a lot of people who have been working well under this. And, yeah, for instance, my coworkers and I, we've been really toughing it out through all of this. So it's great that all those people have been working hard. And hopefully we'll still... Hopefully, we'll get a vaccine soon, within the next 3 or 4 months. Yep, just keep that mask on, keep your distance, wash them hands, don't touch your face. I see too many people doing that, too. But, anyway, yeah, this may be a little short, but that's pretty much what I had worked on this week. I mean, there is my, there's also that my game that I've been working on, but I've been not much to report from that. I've been getting pretty far in the development of it. Still working on some of the mechanics. So, for instance, the procedural arenas. I think I'm getting close to a solid base for it from which to make a good arena and possibly a good gameplay experience for the player, but still going to be a while. I mean, heck, I've just put in stuff for, you know, a point system. I'm still implementing that. I'm still testing out some ideas for that. But anyway, I hope that you enjoyed this podcast for this week. If you want to, you can hit me up on Twitter. Let's see here, at TheFakeJasonA, or on Mastodon at pertain@linuxgamecast.com. If you also want to look on my blog, that's jasonsblog.place. So anyway, hope everything works out for you. And remember, you can't get to the top of the mountain if you don't aim for the stars.